Hvis man kommer til Lissabon, hvis man kommer til Cascais, så er der et sted, som man skal ud og se. Kan I forestille jer et eventyrslot? Et tonneroseslot på det nærmeste. Lyserødt, gult, blåt er der også hister her. Et regulært eventyrslot. Det hedder Palazzo Pena. Det vender vi tilbage til, fordi når man er ude på de her kanter, så skal man mere end bare se det her Pena-palads, som er helt fantastisk at se på. Men i virkeligheden, hvis man ser en lille smule historisk på det, så er der altså også nogle andre steder, som er meget, meget interessante. Og da det kun ligger en 300-400 meter herfra, så er det i virkeligheden værd at indlede et besøg med. Men nu har jeg været der, nu står jeg ved Pena-paladset og kigger ud over landskabet. Vi kan høre, der er en masse mennesker, så det er altså virkelig noget af en turistattraktion. Hvis I kommer her første gang, så er I i hvert fald ikke de første, der har været her. Jeg har også været her tidligere, og derfor så synes jeg, det skulle indgå, men også fordi det er en helt fantastisk ting. Det, som vi skal snakke om i det her indslag, det er det mauriske fort, The Maurisk Castle, og det vil I høre fra om lidt, så skal vi tale med Sara, som fortæller os en lille smule om det. For at forstå, hvad det går ud på, så skal man forstå lidt om historien. Hernede på den iberiske halvø, som består af Portugal og Spanien, tilbage i tiden omkring 800-900 år efter Kristi, der var den iberiske halvø besat af arabere, den var besat af muslimer. Dengang der var det en meget, meget højt udviklet kultur, de var foran mange af de barbarer, husk på, det var samme periode, hvor vi rendte rundt og var vikinger op hos os. Så dernede, der foregik der altså temmelig mange ting, og en af de ting, som de var rigtig gode til, det var ikke mindst at beskytte deres ejendom. Derfor så byggede de et slot, et castle. Og det castle, det eksisterede i 300-400 år, og så blev det øvrigt overtaget af de kristne, efterhånden som de fik jaget de her maurer ud af den iberiske halvø, og så vil jeg egentlig ikke gå meget, meget mere i historien. Jeg vil hellere snakke lidt med Sara omkring, hvad det her slot, hvad det her castle, det egentlig byder på. So tell me, Sara, I've just very shortly told the listeners about the story about the Maurice. To come here, you have to visit the Maurice Castle also before we go to the Pena Palace, because the history may be much stronger when it comes to the castle more than this building.
Yes, so we had the Maurish prevalence and presence of culture in the Iberic Peninsula since the 8th century until the 12th century. And this castle was built in the 10th century.
So it is about 1,000 years old, and when you come here, I think it's very fascinating because it's not only lying on a mountain, it is following the shape of the mountain. It's going up and down, and from the top you can see more or less the whole Iberia.
Exactly. That was the idea. It was a surveillance castle built in order to surveil because of other enemies' attacks. And in fact, the Vikings came here to this coast and they arrived here, Sigurd the King, in the 11th century. And it was very connected to the city of Lisbon. So it was a big civilization, the Moorish civilization. It was called Al-Andalus, this region.
And at that time, already Lisbon was a city, so it needed protection. And of course, this Sintra Mountain is lying very, very close to the sea. Jeg er faktisk ikke engang sikker på, om jeg fik fortalt jer, at det ligger ude i det, der hedder Sintra Bjergene. Fordi jeg fortalte egentlig bare omkring det her specielle sted i Cascais område. Men der har man altså nogle højdedrag, som hedder Sintra Bjergene. Og en lille by, der hedder Sintra, som ikke er så lille mere. Den er faktisk lidt halvstor. Den er meget, meget trafikeret. Der er rigtig mange mennesker. But back in time, the Sintra town didn't really exist.
Well, it has been all only the village with the Moorish time. They were farmers, and then when the Christians came here, the first king, the village of Sintra has grown because the royals wanted to have a good time, to have good water, good airs, and to hunt.
And one of the things which also fascinates me very much is that it is actually still there. It is not a ruin, yeah, and to a certain degree it is a ruin, but you can still see all the walls, you can walk around on it, and you can have this fantastic view over the landscape. When you come here as a visitor, what are you going to concentrate on?
Well, mostly the landscape, the beautiful views, the nature. We have a biological diversity, botanic species all over the world, and these old walls that tell you many stories. We also have archaeological settings telling how the Phoenicians, the Romans were here, even Neolithic time, prehistoric times.
And you're also developing this, so it's not only to go into an old building and then you can just stand there and look at something and maybe you know something, maybe you don't. You're actually organizing tours around it, so it's easy for the public to come here and have an experience. And when they are leaving it, they have not only been looking at a lot of stones, they actually got some knowledge about the past.
Yes, you can visit the old church built by the first knights, the first Christian knights that came from North Europe, the Crusades time. You can see the archaeological diggings, the exhibition, and we have maps, information, books, so you learn all about the past and what happened in these places, these beautiful monuments.
And then in one of the other features, we are going to talk about the Pena Palace. I will come back to that. The next feature will be about the Pena Palace. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you.
Tak til Sara, som er guide på såvel det mauriske fort som Pena Paladset for snakken, som vi fortsætter i det næste indslag, hvor det da handler om det eventyrlige palads i Sintra, hvor blandt andet H.C. Andersen har fundet inspiration til sine berømte fortællinger. Men det er først i det næste indslag. Inden vi tager hul på det, skal du vide, at hvis du desuden vil se billeder og læse mere og genhøre dele af programmet fra Qashqai, kan du besøge rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk.